If you would turn with me this morning to the book of Acts chapter 2, and believe it or not, I'm going to share a scripture that Joe actually shared last week. He actually shared this passage of scripture from the book of Joel. But I would, as a launching point this morning, I know this is Mother's Day, but next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And what better way to talk and to honor mothers and to encourage mothers today than by combining two wonderful blessings and gifts that God has given His church. Number one, the gift of the Holy Spirit, but number two, the gift of women. And today we're going to begin by looking at Acts chapter 2, but we're going to also, and this morning we're old school, so we'll be going through our Bibles today with our paper Bible, which is okay. And but the second gift that God has given His church are women, mothers and women. We're actually going to look at a woman in the Bible today. The indication is she may have been a mother, but we're not sure if she was a mother or not. I think the indication is she was probably not. But she was a mighty woman of God, nonetheless. But let's first read our text, and then let's get into our message this morning. And before we do, I almost forgot my microphone. Even though I know I don't need it, I do record both messages for our website. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 16, the Bible says, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Let's bow our hearts together. Let's ask God's blessing and presence to be with us as we look to the Word of God. Father, once again, we thank You and praise You and give all honor and glory and praise to You this morning for Your goodness, for Your grace. We thank You for the gift of motherhood, O God. And we thank You, Lord, that in the beginning, God, You created both male and female, and that both have a wonderful part and purpose in the grand plan of Your kingdom. As we talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, specifically the ministry of the Holy Spirit upon women today, we ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be with us. I pray that You would give words to this, Your speaker today, and I pray You give us all ears to hear what Your Holy Spirit is saying. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. In many aspects, and I'm thankful for this in Christ, that the Bible teaches us in Christ there's no male nor female, no Jew or Gentile, no slave or free. We're all one in Christ. And both the callings and the gifting of the Holy Spirit is both for male and for female. And we see that in our text this morning. In the last days, God will what? Pour out His Spirit upon whom? Both your sons and your daughters. I'm so grateful, and I think, you know, there was a purpose in God doing this and making this distinction. And may I say, Peter just wasn't the first one who was inspired by God to say this. This was something the prophet Joel in the Old Testament was inspired to say, that in the last days the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh, both men and women. And According to our text this morning, not only would the Holy Spirit be poured out on men and women, but both would be used mightily by the Holy Spirit to do great things for the kingdom of God. In fact, as we read Scripture together, what is the greatest spiritual gift that God has given the church according to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14? Well, if I read my Bible correctly, and at least in this case I do, and I hope to do so in every Scripture, the greatest gift that God has, spiritual gift that God has given the church, is the gift of prophecy, which he has given both to men and to women. And may all the ladies say amen this morning. Amen. Praise God. And I am thankful that as far as understanding the scope of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we just don't have the New Testament to look to. And the New Testament does have a very detailed teaching and detailed examples of men and women who are touched and filled with the Holy Spirit. But we can also look at the Old Testament. And may I just say one point before talking about the Old Testament, and I thank God that God did move mightily and powerfully in the Old Testament in the areas of grace, but also in the areas of the infilling of His Holy Spirit. But may I also say this regarding the ministry of the Holy Spirit as it pertains to our text this morning, that is that end time outpouring that I believe has yet to come. And what I mean by that, the different signs that accompany this end time outpouring, the sun being turned black, the moon being turned to blood, that hasn't happened yet. That will happen at some point, but it hasn't happened yet. And also, the Bible says that at the end, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, it'll be poured out upon everybody. Everybody will be touched by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, we don't have time this morning, especially in the early service. And I have to confess to you, I won't confess this to the second service, but sometimes, you know, logical thinking is, you know, make Mother's Day short so people can get out. The message didn't seem to run short, so we're going to do the best that we can this morning. We don't have time to talk about that, but when Peter got up and spoke about Joel, the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, he said that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that day, and God hasn't changed, and we are still in that era of the moving of the Holy Spirit upon His church. It is upon both sons and daughters. And this morning, what I'd like to do is take a few moments to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit upon an Old Testament woman, that being Miriam, the sister of Moses, who is also entitled, given the title in Holy Scripture, as prophetess. Now let me tell you, there's only one way that you can become a prophet, and that's the Holy Spirit both calling you and empowering for you to do those very things. This was a woman in the Old Testament whom God used in a mighty way to live out and demonstrate one of the greatest gifts and one of the greatest callings that there is. And all callings are wonderful and important. But prophecy is the greatest of gifts, to be a mighty prophet or prophetess of God. Let's take a look at her. And the first that we hear about Miriam is when she's a child, and we're not exactly sure how old she is, but she lived during a time where Israel were a great people, a nation of people
but who were slaves under great bondage in the land of Egypt. And as the story goes, Jacob and his sons and their families went to Egypt many years prior to Miriam's life. And they went there to escape famine. And there was a particular area in Egypt that they settled. And while they were there, they prospered, they grew, they became a numerous people, so numerous that Pharaoh began to be nervous that the Israelites, if Pharaoh was ever to go to war with someone else, the Israelites might join with their enemies and fight against them. And so he treated them harshly, and the harder he treated them, and basically they became slave labor. And many feel that some of the wonderful things that are in Egypt today were actually things that were built with Israeli slaves. The Bible says the more that they were oppressed, the more that they multiplied and spread. They became even more numerous and more hard. So Pharaoh got more nervous, and so he did the nuclear option. Bible tells us in the book of Exodus chapter 1 verse 22, Pharaoh gave this order to all his people, every Hebrew boy that is born to you, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. So whenever a boy was born, that child, according to Pharaoh, was to be taken and thrown into the Nile and drowned. And this is where Miriam's story begins. Now, she wasn't a child, and I'm not sure exactly how old she was. She might have been, 5 years old. She might have been 10 years old. Who knows? This might have been one of those, midlife surprises. She could have been 20 years old. And I know some families, they've got kids in their 20s and all the way down to just little babies. We're not sure how old she was when her brother Moses was born. But we do have an account of her life, which I think describes her as kind of plucky. And what do you think of when you think of someone who's kind of plucky? I like to think of someone who's kind of, they're willing to say anything, they're willing to do anything. In fact, I think the definition of plucky is someone who's courageous in circumstances of fear or distress. And in fact, if I was to think of someone who's plucky, and Larry's not here this morning, but I would still share it. I think of little Lizzie. She's kind of a plucky little girl. She'll just say and do whatever, and nothing really intimidates her. And this, I think, really describes Miriam. Reading her story, the background of her story from Exodus chapter 2, we see the plight now that this family was in because this boy was born named Moses. He wasn't named at the time. Verse 1 says, a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. 2 things here about Moses. Number one, he's, obviously a very cute baby, and any, baby that's born is precious. And obviously both Moses' father and mother did not want to see him perish. So they tried to keep him hidden, but, you're all mothers. And how many of you mothers during church ever had a hard time keeping your little baby kind of quiet? It's impossible. And I think it bothers the mothers more than it does everywhere else. In fact, I've come to appreciate, hearing the sounds of kids during the service. It's a good sign at a church that there are babies who are there. You can't keep a child quiet just as soon as you can't, I think our children are little dogs. But, my little dog, as much as we try to keep him quiet whenever there's a doorbell, a car door, or a horn, it's impossible. And such it is, and I've done the same thing. But isn't it funny, with little kids, and they just learn to speak, how parents are like, shh. And they just don't get it. But it wasn't just that he was a cute baby. If you read the account of Jochebed, or the commentary on Jochebed from the book of Hebrews chapter 11, she discerned that Moses was a special baby. I don't know if God spoke to her or how it came about, but there was this understanding that this was no ordinary child. That God was going to use this baby, this boy, to do something. And I don't think she understood the scope, because one of the greatest Old Testament prophets was Moses. And some people might think, is this woman crazy putting Moses in a basket? It was actually an action of faith that was in the plan of God. She trusted God for God to take care of her son while he was in the basket of reeds papyrus basket in the reeds, and the reeds would be a little more safer place, I would assume. She trusted God, and in God's providence, Moses became part of Pharaoh's household. But an interesting thing happened, and I'm not sure how this came about. It'd be one of those things I'll be interested to find out when I get to heaven and, be able to rewind the Bible and see all the details. And won't that be great? But Miriam was there watching over Moses. We're not sure if Jochebed said, hey, like we do with our kids, watch your little brother, watch your little sister. Or she just went on her own initiative. But she went to watch over, watch over Moses to make sure everything was all right. And we read her account beginning in verse 4. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Now, obviously, Miriam was at the age where she understood what was going on. In fact, she was quite clever. One of the things that leads me to believe she was quite a plucky little girl is, number one, she would stay around Moses knowing that that was a potentially very dangerous situation, because baby boys were marked men in that society. The order of Pharaoh was law in that kingdom. You see a Hebrew baby, you kill that baby. And there she was staying around that Hebrew baby, risking herself getting into some kind of trouble. And then, of all things, Pharaoh's own daughter finds this baby and picks it up. And I'm trying to put myself in her shoes. I would think if that happened, the first thing I would do would be to run home and to let my mother and father know what had happened. Guess what happened? Pharaoh's daughter came and took this little child. But what does she do? She gets this great, wonderful, I dare say inspired idea to actually go up to Pharaoh's daughter and say, shall I get one of the Hebrew women to nurse this child for you? Basically, to find a witness, she was Pharaoh's daughter. She could have gotten any wet nurse that she possibly could, but she acquiesces to this young girl and says, yes, go get a Hebrew woman and to be this child's nurse. And so she does. And Moses has a precious few years to be with his mother. Again, we're not sure exactly how long it took for a child to be weaned. According to one commentary I read, it could be anywhere from 2 years to 5 years back in the day. But what made that possible was the pluckiness of this little girl, Miriam. And, you know, we can and we should ask ourselves, what would move her, number one, to put her life at risk, and number two, to boldly confront Pharaoh's daughter? And number one, it could have been her personality. I think we've all met kids who, you know, just don't know any better. And I think there's a certain naivete involved. You know, sometimes we do things that we don't know any better, and she just gets up and says, oh, I can get one of the Hebrews to nurse her for you. But even greater than that, and I think there's subtle evidence to demonstrate the reason why Miriam was not afraid, and Miriam was bold to approach Pharaoh's daughter so that mother and child could be reunited, was the fact she was a little girl with great faith. And there's a reason I say this. Number one, according to Hebrews chapter 11, her parents had faith, and I guess we are going to talk a little bit about Jochebed this morning. But they weren't just people who believed God themselves. They are people, and Jochebed especially, was someone who instilled her faith in God, in her children's lives. And you might be saying, well, Pastor Randy, where do you get that from? I don't read that at all in the text. We don't see it so much here as we see it in the life of Moses. As I mentioned just a few moments ago, Jochebed only had a few years with Moses before Moses became weaned and went to live in Pharaoh's household as Pharaoh's grandson. But what happened to Moses, or what choice did Moses make when he finally became of age to go along with the Egyptians and the oppression of their people, or to stand up to Pharaoh and be counted with the children of God? There's no doubt in my mind there was a reason that he stood up to be counted with the people of God. And that's because those very precious few years that he had with his mother, she put all of her faith, everything she possibly could, into him. And there's no reason to believe that what she did in Moses' life, she didn't do in Miriam's life. Quite the contrary. Miriam, I believe, and you're free to disagree with me this morning, had the faith, which could have been innocence or naivete, but also trust that God can get her through anything, just as he got Noah and his family through the great flood. That he would protect her as she walked over her little brother. In fact, if I could jump to the end of my message this morning, I'm not done yet, but I do want to speak about this point. Mothers, women of God this morning, you're all women this morning, appropriately so. And I thank God for women in the church. Very important key, whether or not any of us are people who walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, is whether or not we are people of faith. And the reason for that is this. To be a person of faith, or to be a person who fulfills the Word of God, they need to not only feel the call of God upon their lives and feel the impression of God to go and do something, they also need the faith to act upon it in the name of Jesus. Because anything you do for the kingdom of God, whether it be a prophetess, whether it be a witness, whether it be, and it does take courage for both men and women to go up to sometimes a complete stranger and say, can I help you or can I pray for you? One of the essential, if not chief ingredients that we need or characteristics that we need is faith, the ability to trust God and believe that God, this is God's will, and God will use us and God will protect us if we obey. Romans 1:17 says, as far as a general calling that's upon all our lives, as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. In fact, I think there's two things that kind of bring us to a place of faith where we can be people who operate under the power or under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Several things, but I'm just going to mention two quickly this morning. Of course, the first thing we think of is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If we're to be people of faith, we need to be people of the Word. But also there's a faith that comes from innocence. And what I think Miriam demonstrated here today, or in the story rather, it is a faith that was born, yes, out of maybe how her mother lived and what her mother taught her, but also the fact she didn't know any better. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. One of the things that I love about both children and even teens, and I wish we could bottle what they have and save it, and then as we get older, kind of like a fountain of life, a fountain of youth, is their faith. Because if you bring a request to a child, no matter how impossible that request might be, not only will they pray about it, they will pray with great faith. You know, we hear, and someone just shared with me yesterday how their father has stage 4 cancer, and you know, and we asked to pray, and definitely we will pray for him and whatnot, and they shared how you know it's final stages, and so they're just trying to make them comfortable. And for many people, even Christian people, even people who've seen miracles, adult Christian people, you know, yes, God can, but you know, probably his life is older. But if you approach a child, let's say in kids' church later today, you ask a young child, would you pray for this person that God would heal them? You know, they've got stage 4 cancer and this, and that. That young person would pray and pray with all their heart, with full faith, that God would just heal and make that person brand new in the name of Jesus, because they don't know any better. And that's a good thing. How does that relate to us today? And you know, this isn't so much a message to women as it is to all of us who live by faith and want to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. The lessons of faith that we learn in innocence, sometimes we step out in faith, not knowing any better. And I think this is particularly true when we step out in ministry. You know, there's an opportunity to do something. Yeah, I'll do that. Not knowing what we've signed up for, not knowing what we've been in store for. And God, you know, God makes it work, or we pray for someone and God does something miraculous as we get older and as we understand how things work more, and as we see how impossible things are, we don't forget the lessons that we learned in innocence. So that when the Holy Spirit moves upon us, amen? And I firmly believe that God was moving upon this young lady. It was many years ago. When we're older, we embrace the will of God and step out in faith with just as much vigor as if we even have any clue of what we're getting into. Miriam was not only a woman of faith, she was an anointed woman. And I'm going to move through these last points, this next point rather quickly. And I may not get to my last point this morning. I definitely will second service where we have a little more time. It's a bad thing about Sunday morning. Let me just say, when we talk about the anointing, what the anointing, and what it means to anoint someone literally is to smear with some kind of liquid. And in the context of Scripture, when someone or something was consecrated for service to God, that thing was smeared or anointed with oil, and it was actually a special oil. And that oil symbolized the Holy Spirit. And this isn't my message this morning, but it's an important point. Not only should we, as we serve Jesus, expect the power of the Holy Spirit, we need to desire, or may I say, be desperate for the touch of the Holy Spirit upon everything that we do. I think when people anointed things in the Old Testament, the old things were done in the Old Testament is assigned to us in the New Testament. It wasn't only saying, you know, the Holy Spirit will be with you, the Holy Spirit will empower you. It was also saying, because it was man who did the anointing, it's also saying, hey, listen, if you're going to step out in faith and serve God, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the power of God. You need the touch of God upon your life. You need to be seeking that with all of your heart. May I encourage you, this is one of my prayers during this fast, that God would anoint me more than ever before, not just to be a pastor, but a man of God, a husband, a father, a friend, a brother, a neighbor, a greater anointing of God's Holy Spirit upon our life. May that be all of our prayers. And there was an anointing or an empowerment by the Holy Spirit for unique gifts and callings upon Miriam, because she's referred to in Exodus chapter 15, verse 20, as a prophet. And the occasion for this scripture, this was after God delivered Israel from the Egyptians by parting the Red Sea. Finally, Pharaoh did relinquish and let the Israelites go, and God brought them, and I was listening to some messages this past week. God brought them between a rock and a hard place. They had no place to go. The Egyptian armies were descending upon them. And in those impossible circumstances, that's when God showed up, part of the Red Sea, allowed them to walk across, and then used that same Red Sea, that same impediment, to wipe out and destroy his enemies. And afterwards, Moses burst into song, and then we read in Exodus 15, verse 20, that Miriam did likewise. Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both horse and driver, he is hurled into the sea." The Holy Spirit wasn't just upon her to, and I thank God for the thrill. I was going to say tingle, but I don't want to reduce or make light of or common the move of the Holy Spirit. There's just an inexpressible feeling in body, soul, and spirit when the Holy Spirit fills you to overflowing. This is interesting, you know, people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, some dance, some quiver, some shake. It just doesn't affect your spirit, it affects your mind, it affects your body, the entirety of your whole being, your soul. Miriam was full of the Holy Spirit, and one of the aspects of the Spirit's ministry in her life was that of prophetess. So it wasn't just this overwhelming experience where she felt the presence of God, body, mind, and spirit in a powerful way. A unique calling. A great calling. The calling of prophetess came upon this woman, which was not just a ministry in the Old Testament, but according to the book of Ephesians, Chapter 4, it's one of the gifts that God has given the church. He gave gifts to all men. He gave the gift of apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist to the church. And God called this woman to be a prophet. She literally means to be a speaker, to bring forth the word of God. Other things associated with that. Being godly and being discerning. But the primary calling of a prophet or prophetess is to bring forth the word of God. And just as the Bible says in Joel 2, Acts chapter 2, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. The calling of prophet is not only a calling that is upon men, but also women, and for women to exercise in Jesus' name. I'm not saying all women are called to be a prophet, just like all men are. But there are unique and powerful callings upon both men and women, and as we approach the end of time, those will increase. And with that calling came boldness, and yes, Miriam was a plucky little girl, at least by my estimation, but I have found that just the natural gifts, and you know, God endues people with natural giftings and inclinations, and not all of it's boldness. Some are very compassionate. Some have wisdom and insights, and you know, different things that we can mention this morning. And those are all wonderful. But just because you excel in a specific area does not mean you don't need the power of the Holy Spirit to excel even more in that. Miriam wasn't just a guardian over her little baby brother, but became a leader of women that day who spoke the word of God, and the anointing of God came upon her to give her the boldness to both speak, but in this case sing. Let's not limit prophecy to just the spoken word. It also can be the sung word, giving glory and honor and praise to God. The gift, the call, the boldness, and the leadership. One last thing in just the closing moments of our message this morning. The Spirit-filled woman is also used by God in a mighty way by both learning and sharing the lessons of failure and of sin. The story of Miriam just does not end with her exercising her gifts of her gift or calling of prophecy. Later in her life, she was guilty of a sin, and we can take a lot of time to talk about what that was. But I will just share, just generally speaking, one of the chief things she was guilty of, both her and her brother Aaron, she was not the only one, was creating division and dissension in the nation of Israel. And one of the callings that God has upon his people, and it's a righteous calling, is that is to live in unity. Numbers 12, 1 and 2, the Bible says, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. One thing I love about the Word of God is it shows everything about everyone. It doesn't romanticize the men and women in the Bible by showing them as perfect people, people that we could never relate to or attain. He shares their strengths and then their weaknesses. And in this case, Miriam fell prey to sin. The sin of pride, perhaps. Sin of division. Which angered God and invited God's discipline upon her life. 9 and 10 in Numbers 12 reading, the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, Miriam's skin was leprous. It became white as snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw she had a defiling skin disease. Let me tell you what happens when your sin, even if you're a spirit-filled man or woman of God, there are always consequences, and the consequences are always bad. But thank God, even though we might suffer bad consequences to our sin, there's grace. Now, it was the intent of God, on the one hand, because God is a God of grace, of righteousness and justice, to judge Miriam permanently, but because God is a God of grace, and Moses was a man who was not only the giver of the law, he was a minister of grace. God raised up someone to intercede for her. Moses, verse 13, cried out to the Lord, "Please, God, heal her." The Lord replied to Moses, "If her father had spit in her face, would she have not been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought." Two things in closing. Number one, as we close this message today. Number one, when we fail God or fall into sin, may we remember that we have an intercessor, an even greater intercessor than Miriam had. Miriam had Moses, whom the Bible says, in fact, in that very chapter, God says, "I speak with Moses face to face. I don't speak in dreams and visions. I talk to him plainly." What an amazing man of God. And he interceded, and God listened to Moses. And not just in this instance, other times God interceded for people and he listened. The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the Son of God, who lives in intercession for us. And although there may be times and although there are opportunities or instances in our lives where we fail, big time. Sometimes we make small mistakes and, you know, we're able to move on quickly, but sometimes we fail, we sin, we make mistakes, and there are huge consequences. But the godly woman, the spirit-filled woman, as well as the spirit-filled man, knows it's not the end with God. And we have an intercessor that we can go to. "Father, forgive me. I appeal to you in faith because of the blood of Jesus, which the Bible says cleanses us from every sin, even the sin I commit now in my own imperfection and weakness." The Bible gives us the assurance in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And not only to heal and to cleanse and to forgive, but also restore. Miriam not only became healed of her leprosy, she was allowed to return
to the camp, and there's no reason to believe that she did not return to her calling as prophetess. Not only is your testimony, not only is your ministry a big part of who you are as a spirit-filled woman of God, the work of God's redeeming grace in your life, including picking yourself up or picking ourselves up. This speaks equally to me, to men, as it does women. When we fall or when we fail, you know, let me tell you, both sin and failure does not mean, in fact, quite the contrary, does not mean that God will not call you to either return to what you were doing or to do something different. How can I do it, God? I sin. Or how could I do it, God? I failed. Sometimes we let those excuses keep us from doing what God calls us to do. And because God is a God of grace, and it's all by His power, let me tell you, failure, when we fail, it's not, I'm not saying it can't be, sometimes it can be because of us, but more often than not, if we're living openly and honestly before God, it's not because of us. If you're looking as far as man's gauge, many, if not all, the prophets in the Old Testament were complete and utter failures. But they were willing to dust them, pick themselves up, men and women, dust themselves off, and continue to do what God called them to do, despite the fact that seemingly they fell flat on their faces. And in our lives, we demonstrate the grace, gracious, the spirit-filled person demonstrates the gracious, redeeming, restorative nature of the living God when we pick ourselves up or allow the Holy Spirit to pick us up again and continue to serve the living God. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. We're going to sing one chorus in closing.